This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, breaking news. The biggest international case in the ACLJ's history as we fight for U.S. soldiers under attack at the International Criminal Court.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Holding in my hands the document dated October 24th, 2019, from the International Criminal Court for our Facebook and Periscope viewers, but for a radio audience. Again, this is a serious document. The appeals chamber, that is the International Criminal Court's Supreme Court. That's the highest level of the International Criminal Court. And it comes before five judges, the presiding judge and four additional judges of the appeals chamber. The title of the case or situation, if you will, is Situation in the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, Decision on the Participations of Amici Curiae. That would be groups like the ACLJ through the European Center for Law and Justice, which is a recognized NGO at the United Nations. Now, we've appeared before at the beginning trial stages of the International Criminal Court, so this won't be the first time we've ever appeared at the ICC, but we have never appeared before at the ICC Supreme Court. Both my dad and I will be delivering both oral argument and we'll be submitting written argument as well, written briefing as well. And so this came in October 24th. And on page 11, it grants the ECLJ not just an okay to file briefs, but to actually attend and present oral argument. We'll know soon how much time we'll have to present, but this is a three-day, unlike the Supreme Court, which is like a one-day for one-hour case, this goes over 3 days. We got this October 24th. Guess when this is at The Hague? It's at The Hague, December 4th, 5th, and 6th. So we literally, from today, have 1 month left to prepare this case, which is a case that all is about the International Criminal Court's Office of the Prosecutor opening up investigations into American troops who served in Afghanistan, as well as our intelligence agents, like CIA members, and opening international criminal investigations into their activities, which could potentially lead to their prosecutions by the International Criminal Court, even though the U.S. is not a member of the ICC, because under the chief prosecutor's reasoning, Afghanistan is, and we should be treated, and I'll go through it, but I mean literally, we should be treated like the Taliban or the Afghan National Security Forces. I mean, she listed it like this in bullet points. Crimes against humanity and war crimes by the Taliban and their affiliated network. War crimes by the Afghan National Security Forces. War crimes by members of the U.S. Armed Forces on the territory of Afghanistan and by members of the U.S. CIA in detention facilities in Afghanistan and on the other and the territory of other states party to the statute. This would mean that an international tribunal, if the prosecutor, if you play this out fully, and we're trying to stop it at its tracks, that you can't even, don't even have the jurisdiction to open up an investigation into our troops. Because the prosecutor has their way, then long term, they will be able to investigate any American military members or intelligence for crimes that, again, they're saying our courts aren't good enough, even though we handle our military situations in our own military courts and even sometimes in the civilian courts. But they could then target American service members while they're traveling abroad. Like, let's say you're in London or you're in Paris, and there's this warrant out for you from the ICC that you might not even know about. And even though the U.S. doesn't recognize the ICC, guess who has to be there defending the U.S. soldiers, defending the U.S. intelligence agents at the International Criminal Court in a month? Us. And we were asked because the court said we have a unique perspective that's to present a different perspective on the factors relied upon on the decision. We need your financial support to prepare for this case. It's a matching challenge month. Whatever you donate to the ACLJ in the month of November is doubled. Go to
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let me just jump right to it, folks. This is a month. You know, it's a matching challenge month, and sometimes these months fall on times when you really need those matching challenge donations, not just because we're getting towards the end of the year and setting up for next year, but because of cases that come to you before the end of the year that you have from today a month to finalize your preparations for, both written briefs and preparing for oral arguments that I'll be delivering as well as my dad, and he'll be joining us back on the radio broadcast tomorrow. Remember that whatever amount you donate to the ACLJ in the month of November is doubled. So we have a group of donors that will match every donation that comes through in the month of November. So if you give a $15 donation, that becomes $30 for the ACLJ. $10, $20, $20, $40, $50, $100. You can do the math up from there. There's not some limit to that, though. And the minimum, I mean, again, if you're talking about $5 donations, those are critical as well. Because we are going to be, a month from today, appearing at the International Criminal Court defending the position and the interest of the U.S. military and our soldiers and the U.S. intelligence agents and the agencies. Because the U.S. doesn't recognize any jurisdiction of the ICC, it won't appear even to defend its own interests, because in a sense that would be giving jurisdiction over to the ICC. So it must rely on others to speak out. Not many did, which is why the ICC, highest level of their court, we've appeared at their lower levels. We have never, this is our biggest international case ever, folks. One, I think, because it's an international case that involves protecting U.S. soldiers from arrest while they travel overseas, from being treated like Nazis, from being treated like war criminals, like from being treated, as the prosecutor lists here, like Taliban torturers, okay? Who, you remember, they take people out into soccer stadiums and shoot them with machine guns or decapitate them? And that we don't have a complementary legal system that is fair in the United States to deal with this, even though we have a full military justice system and civilian system, as well as congressional investigations that look into wrongdoing that may have occurred by CIA on individual basis, things like that, that there is serious accountability, the court-martial process as well. But the case will be heard in exactly 1 month. It's December 4th, 5th, and 6th. We'll be there all 3 days at The Hague. We will be presenting, I'll be presenting along with my dad, an oral argument to the International Criminal Court's Supreme Court. They call it the Appeals Chamber. It's a 5-judge panel. And we will also be writing briefs. We need your financial support right now because we've got a team of attorneys. We didn't find out about this until the end of October, okay? And it's November 4th. So the end of October that the ICC not only granted our ability to write a response, so file basically a brief in this case, that would be one thing. It's still a lot of work to do. But that we'd actually be invited to present oral argument at the International Criminal Court's Appeals Chamber. That is the highest court in the International Criminal Court. They have only, again, handled a handful of cases in the Appeals Chamber. I think the total is 8. This may be number 9 that have actually come to a final decision. And the decision on this case would be ultimately, can the International Criminal Court's prosecutor open an investigation into U.S. troops the same way they would investigate the members of the Taliban into activities that occurred during the war in Afghanistan for war crimes and crimes against humanity and torture? And if they can then open that investigation, then bring charges against individuals specifically associated with those alleged crimes. And they've got victims lined up to go after our U.S. troops. And the danger here is this push for jurisdiction. The big picture is the ICC push for jurisdiction over U.S. soldiers when they are engaged abroad, which is most of the time where they are engaged, and especially when they're engaged in conflicts in a state that is a member of the ICC. And Afghanistan did join the International Criminal Court. So think about it this way. If the prosecutor got their way and they got to open investigations, okay, it's very simple, and you are someone who is a veteran who served in a battalion and she's investigating you, you don't even know it, and someone has accused you in Afghanistan that you specifically or your group specifically was engaged in this crime against humanity or war crime, and now you're traveling, they want to prosecute you. So you're traveling on a trip to London or Paris with your family, and the ICC puts out a warrant for your arrest. Well, those countries like the UK and France are members of the ICC. They would have to follow the orders of that warrant, and you then would face trial at the International Criminal Court. That is what the end goal here is, to have jurisdiction over U.S. troops, not just when it comes to Afghanistan. This is the case they're looking at to see if they can long-term broaden out their power. Because even though we won't, as a country, recognize the jurisdiction of the ICC, if they can get other countries to do so, and by the way, there have been other examples in the past where there are members of militaries who can't travel to certain countries because the ICC has taken this position, not on a grand scale of going after a superpower like the U.S., but ultimately, that is the ramifications of this case. So when the ICC said in their appeals chamber document on the situation in the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, and you turn to page 11 from the ICC, and it says the appeals chamber notes that the ECLJ, and through the ACLJ, is one of the few, I mean, we're literally one of two with the position that this is wrong. And I think there's 16 or 17 who will be presenting arguments against our position, who, including a lot of American professors, law professors, of course. There's going to be a lot of Americans this time at the ICC, and most of these Americans are against our U.S. military. They're against our U.S. intelligence services, but not us at the ACLJ, not us at our European Center for Law and Justice, because we were asked to intervene because we have indicated an intention, quote, to present a different perspective on the factors relied upon in the decision below, considering in addition that the request will not cause a delay in the briefing schedule. They will exceptionally treat this application in conjunction with the others. So again, we will be arguing December 4th, 5th, and 6th in The Hague at the International Criminal Court. My dad and I are going to kind of divide this up as it stands right now to defend U.S. soldiers from what is a court system that they have no business being a part of, and a warrant process, you know, a possible prosecutions in cases that they have no business of ever having to deal with. But it is the biggest international case. The ACLJ and, of course, our European affiliate, the ECLJ, has ever had, because it is at the highest criminal court in the world and at the highest chamber of the International Criminal Court. It is at their level of Supreme Court, the appeals chamber. If you look up the ICC on Wikipedia, you will see it is only 8 or 9 cases that have gotten this far and have a decision on them. And this one on Afghanistan is listed as pending. We are the lead here in supporting the U.S. In fact, we're the only group, as I can tell when reading through who was granted the ability to have review, Than, we are the only group representing specifically the U.S. military and U.S. intelligence position that this court and this prosecutor does not have jurisdiction over this matter.
Well, in this way, Jordan, I think it's very similar to the situation at the Human Rights Council, where the United States is no longer a member, and rightfully so, but we continue to advocate so that the voice of the United States interest and the voice of truth, quite frankly, is represented. Of course, the magnitude of the issue is much greater when it comes to the International Criminal Court, Jordan. And I would just say, just from having spent decades really, in these international chambers, these bodies, these tribunals, often, Jordan, the very most effective time to come against efforts to expand jurisdiction and scope of reach of these tribunals is right now, Jordan, right at the outset before a foothold is gained from which these attacks, in this case on the U.S. soldiers, can be gained. These tribunals, Jordan, they're always trying to get additional jurisdiction, especially as it comes to the United States. And our goal now is to prevent them from even being able to bring these attacks so that our U.S. troops are defended. Jordan, if we let this get too far down the train, it will be hard to defend against the attacks. The goal is to stop them before those limits on jurisdiction are violated.
We have great questions coming in from Kimberly and Holly on Facebook. We'll get to those when we get back from this break. We'll take your phone calls as well. So we'll start answering your questions about this as well at 1-800-684-3110. Folks, we need resources. We've got to have a team of attorneys, specialists, experts. One of them is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. Mark Goldfeder, one of our senior counsels on these international matters. You've got to get up to speed. Thankfully, I have training too in this. I went to additional law school. I have an LLM that focused in on international law and a lot of this war crimes and international tribunals, never knowing that one day I might be presenting, since the U.S. isn't a party, but that we'd have a situation so unique that we would be asked to present at the ICC's highest court on behalf of the U.S., representing the interests of the U.S. military. We need your financial resources. We need financial support now. Donate to the ACLJ. This is a matching challenge month in November, and you can double the impact of your donation. Defend our troops at the international courts, ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
as we have called it, the biggest international case, one of the biggest cases we've ever dealt with in the ACLJ and our European affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, the biggest case we've ever dealt with because it involves the protecting the interests of U.S. armed forces, U.S. intelligence agents and agencies. We're talking about all branches, all intelligence agencies. This relates to Afghanistan. We've got a couple questions coming on Facebook and Periscope. We're also taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. And if you're on Facebook and Periscope, I encourage you to share this broadcast right now with your friends and family, because I guarantee you they don't know about this yet. They don't know about this move yet by the ICC to try and get jurisdiction over U.S. troops. That's the ultimate goal here, to even investigate U.S. troops. I mean, that is the question here. Do they even have the jurisdiction to investigate U.S. troops? Can their prosecutor do that? And if so, can they then bring charges? And if they can bring charges, do warrants issue? And you're traveling abroad and there's a warrant against you, are you picked up and then tried by the ICC because you happen to be one of those servicemen and women? Even though the U.S. has never agreed to sign on to what's called the Rome Statute, we have never joined the International Criminal Court. We are not a state party to this court. So we deny its jurisdiction. So Kimberly asked on Facebook, how did this happen? Holly on Facebook said, why is the ICC taking this position now? I want to go right to Mark Goldfeder. I talked about him in the previous segment because we're talking about the team we're having to put together. As the trial begins, and we are active in this trial, we're not just filing written briefs, but we are presenting oral argument. My dad and I will be presenting oral argument to the ICC's highest court, the International Criminal Court's Supreme Court level. They call it their appeals chamber. But Mark, people say, how did this get there? How did this happen? Well, we know, Mark, that the chief prosecutor wanted to start this investigation, but the lower court at the International Criminal Court basically said no, that you're not going to get jurisdiction to even launch the investigation. But here's where the problem occurs. So she loses the chief prosecutor April 12th, 2019. They say, no, you cannot do an investigation into the situation in Afghanistan. That the parties, Afghanistan, the Taliban, the United States, they're not going to cooperate. So, and again, it's been a long time. So no, but, and here's the big but, Mark, September 17th, 2019, the prosecutor gets leave to appeal. And now the appeals chamber has accepted. And that's what makes everyone nervous is the appeals chamber has decided to make this one of its landmark few cases that it even takes to hear about the ability for the prosecutor to investigate in our position that matters the most, a U.S. troops specific involvement in the Afghanistan war.
Mark? That's right. And you have to bear in mind, Jordan, how incredibly political this entire court is. The court, by the Rome Statute's own definitions, is a court of very limited, not plenary jurisdiction. And the prosecutor and the court itself keep on trying to expand their jurisdiction. Now, last year, when the pretrial chamber ruled that it would not be in the interest of justice, President Donald Trump called the decision a major international victory. It sort of restored some of the standing of the court in people's eyes. And now that the appeals court decided to grant this appeal, there's concern about what kind of vast overreach they might be planning right now.
Yeah, I mean that is the key, Mark, and that is what we're focused on, is that if this pretrial chamber is looking to do something very bold at the international level, even though they're supposed to only exist when you basically have failed states who are member states, but you have no legal system in your country to deal with it, you don't ever deal with problems like this, and so they're there for like as a court of last resort for a lot of And it's involved a lot of countries that have either fallen into disrepair or that, again, don't have effective courts of law that could deal with these kind of situations. And they are treating the United States as one of the prosecutor is, in her argument, is treating the United States on par with, like, Afghanistan's court system or the Taliban's ability to be brought to justice by making this move. And it would be certainly bold for the International Criminal Court to assert that it could have jurisdiction over what its main goal has always been, U.S. troops serving abroad in states that have signed the Rome Statute.
Yeah, if you go back to the late 90s and the early 2000s, when America was even considering signing the statute, proponents of us signing it, you know, they said, don't worry, this court could never, ever call American troops in front of it because the issue of complementarity and genuine investigation, it, that impacts the admissibility standard, a little separate than jurisdiction. Yeah. But on that standard, there's no way you could ever go after the United States because the U.S. has a full investigative process. And it's worth noting, by the way, that no country in the entire history of the world has ever self-investigated or self-reported its detention policies and practices more than the United States. And
right.
These records are public, and they're available, and they were provided to the prosecutor's office in an act of goodwill, and they've just chosen to ignore it. So thank God, really comes down to President Bush, who pushed this as far away as possible, who said that, you know what, we're not going to give them the ability to one day ignore these concerns. And now, even without us signing it, even though we're a non-consenting, non-state
right.
party to this treaty, they're still trying to ignore complementarity and possibly drag us in.
Folks, I want you to understand, this is an attack on our brave men and women that serve this country. It is an absolute attack. It's an attack on our legal system, but more so than that, it's an attack on the brave men and women who voluntarily choose to serve in the U.S. military and voluntarily choose to spend their life as intelligence agents or out in the field, risking their lives to protect us. Our troops fight for our freedom. Now we're fighting to keep them free, so that they have the right to travel, so that they can, again, go and travel the world the way they see fit. Or if they're doing business and they work in for a company now and they're a veteran and they need to do a meeting somewhere in Europe. I mean, this is the long-term goal, Mark, here is that people keep asking, do we have, like, allies? Do we have countries that would protect our troops if they ever got the warrant power over our soldiers? The truth is, if you're in a country that's an ICC member state and the ICC issues a warrant because they want to put someone on trial and they've now decided they have this jurisdiction, those countries are under a lot of pressure to put that person into custody and ship them off to The Hague for trial.
That's right. The arrest warrant falls to the country where the person is located to go ahead and pull that arrest, but there can be severe international pressure put on them to go along with what the court says is appropriate, even though it could cause international consternation from, among others, the United States, Israel.
Yeah.
There are a tremendous amount of non-consenting non-state parties that are watching this case very, very closely, because the United States, at least, is strong enough to stand up to an aggressive bully. Other countries aren't. And so we're just the tip of the spear, and we're really trying to tackle this before it becomes a major international issue that could, theoretically, bring down the entire ICC.
Again, yeah, I want you to understand, the superpowers of the world are not members of the ICC. Not Russia, not the U.S., not China. None of them are members. But the Europeans are, South Americans are, Latin Americans are. So even though it looks like most of the world is by map, by population, it's not the majority of the world. But for traveling purposes, it is. So, I mean, it's two-thirds of the world have signed on to it. That only accounts for a third of the world's population because the superpowers that haven't signed on. We need your financial support to get ready for this. This case is exactly a month from today at The Hague. We're presenting oral argument. Donate. Be part of our matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C.,
Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You're on Facebook and Periscope. I want you to share right now this show with your friends and family. Click share right now. This is the most important case. The ACLJ and our ally at the European Center for Law and Justice has ever done internationally. And one of the most important cases we've ever done at all. It is at the highest level of the International Criminal Court, where because of a unique situation, because the U.S. is not a member state of the International Criminal Court, so it's not a member of the International Criminal Court, but its prosecutor is looking for the green light from the International Criminal Court to investigate U.S. soldiers involved in Afghanistan in the Afghanistan war as war criminals who committed crimes against humanity, torture, and additional war crimes, as well as our intelligence agencies like the CIA, and is looking for the green light from the International Criminal Court's Supreme Court. And we have been asked not just to submit written briefs, but because we are the only group. Since the U.S. won't appear, because appearance alone kind of, you were then like subjecting yourself to jurisdiction by appearing. So because the U.S. government won't appear, its allies, you know, these non-governmental organizations like us, the ACLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, have to be there to argue their position, or else no one will be there to argue the U.S. position. And we look through those who are attending. There's only one other group opposing this, but not because of the U.S. interest involved. We're the only group out of, I think there's 18 or 19 who have been allowed to present orally. And most of those, a lot of those are U.S. law professors. Get that, of course, who want our soldiers to be treated this way, and other so-called human rights groups who will be advocating for that position by the ICC so that it can go after U.S. troops and servicemen and women who have bravely served our country. We are the group who will be standing up at the ICC a month from today, not just in writing, but orally, presenting our case that the ICC prosecutor should not be granted the ability to open investigations that would ultimately lead to potentially prosecutions of U.S. Soldiers and international arrest warrants going out of U.S. soldiers, the men and women who bravely defend our country. We are now defending them. This is a unique opportunity for ACLJ members, for our supporters, for our donors, because it's a unique time. It's a unique case where you could say that your financial support of the ACLJ is directly going to the defense of U.S. military members. Because usually, while we'd be standing alongside the support of U.S. military and certainly a pro-military organization and the interest of the United States, it is a rare situation that because the U.S. doesn't recognize jurisdiction, it relies on the ACLJ. The ACLJ or someone to stand up. We did. The ICC, the International Criminal Court, took notice because we had this unique position that, hey, they shouldn't have the ability to open an investigation here on U.S. troops who are operating in Afghanistan because, again, the U.S. is not a member state of the International Criminal Court. We'll get into more details. A lot of this I know is breaking news, but let me just simplify it for all of you right now. You have a unique opportunity where your ACLJ and European Center for Law and Justice legal teams. My dad and I together will be presenting the oral arguments, but there's a lot of work behind us, a big team behind us getting ready. 1 month from today, The Hague in the Netherlands at the International Criminal Court's Supreme Court, their appellate appeals chamber. We're directly defending the interest of the U.S. military, the men and women who served, our veterans, as well as our intelligence agencies. So your support is going directly to that. It's a unique opportunity to directly not just work with the U.S. government in defending, but to be responsible directly in defending the U.S. military's interest. Donate to the ACLJ today. It is a matching challenge month in November. Everything you donate is doubled. Go to aclj.org and donate today.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are talking about, this is really the first time, I know my dad mentioned a little bit last week, and he'll be back on the broadcast tomorrow, as we are entering into this matching challenge month of November. And really the first day on radio, we've pushed the matching challenge. We need your resources specifically for this. I mean, there's a lot of work going on at the ACLJ. I could go through a lot of other cases as well. Even Planned Parenthood using Fusion GPS to go after our clients in those Planned Parenthood video cases, that trial that's still going on in California. They used Fusion GPS to do the same ones that created the dossier and Christopher Steele. They used Fusion GPS, Planned Parenthood, to go after our clients in the Center for Medical Progress case and those videos exposing Planned Parenthood's sale of fetal body parts. So there's a lot of other ACLJ work going on. But we've got a case exactly a month from today at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And their appeals chamber, that is their highest court, that's their Supreme Court, where we are representing both by oral argument and by written briefing, but not just by briefing. We've been asked to present oral argument. My dad and I will be doing this at The Hague. We've done work at The Hague at the lower levels of the International Criminal Court, not at its appeals chamber. And usually that's because the U.S. is ultimately not a party to the ICC, to the International Criminal Court. But in this case, we have been asked to do that. We have 1 month from today before we'll be at the ICC in robes. If we play the video, we will for you later in the week of what it looks like at the International Criminal Court in the specific robes you have to wear when you appear before this international tribunal. The U.S. government will not do it because by showing up, oftentimes courts say if you show up, you are, in a sense, acceding to the jurisdiction of a court, even if you've said in the past it doesn't have jurisdiction. So the U.S. government won't do it. We have to. We get in there and fight for the U.S. position. So we are actually directly, your financial support is directly going to the defense of U.S. troops and the interest of the U.S. military and of our intelligence agencies as well. It's unique that we wouldn't be like partnering with the U.S. government or siding with the U.S. military, but that we are actually representing the position of the U.S. military at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And if you donate this month, the month of November, your donations are doubled. And what a time where we need resources, folks, because we've got to put together a big team to get to The Hague in less than a month to get there to prepare to present this case. December 4th, 5th, and 6th. So we're already working on it behind the scenes. This is the first day we're really trying to get into it for you. There's a lot of details and specifics we could get into. We kind of wanted to give you an overview today. We need your financial support. You know, it happened to fall. We got this on October 24th, this order from the court, and we wanted to make sure that the order we got was exactly what we thought. It was actually an order to appear before the court, not just to issue a written submission before the court. And it absolutely was, and it was because we had this unique position of actually defending. The court says it in no uncertain terms. That you have indicated an intention to present a different perspective. What does that tell you? Everyone else there is going to be with the perspective of go after the U.S. troops, go after the brave men and women who serve our country, not us at the ACLJ and the ECLJ. We are going to defend the brave men and women who risk their lives to serve our country and voluntarily choose to do that. And let me go to the phones and answer some of the questions, but remember to donate today. And you'll be directly supporting the work in this case and double the impact of your donation all in the entire month of November. Whatever you donate is effectively doubled. So if you donate $25 right now to the ACLJ, a donor is going to match every donation. Donors are going to match. A group of donors will match every donation that comes in. So if you donate $25, that's effectively like donating $50. Go to ACLJ.org right now and be part of our matching challenge. Let me go to Dave, who is a veteran in Salem, Oregon. Dave, thank you for your service to our country. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a question. When I joined the service back during the Vietnam era, I took an oath to, and my commander in chief at that time was the president of the United States. I'm really trying to control my anger because I remember coming back and having things thrown at me and being called a baby killer. And I don't see how our brothers and sisters, we would not have a military if we have to start answering to somebody other than the president of our country.
But of course, and you've got military, we have military courts, Dave. I mean, you take your oath to your commander in chief, who issues those orders. We have Congress who approves, you know, war powers resolutions. We have military courts that handle court martials, Dave. And I understand your anger as a Vietnam veteran, someone who was not respected when they should have been when they came back to our country for the service, for the honor, for serving their country. And in that situation, many who didn't have a choice because of the draft were not choosing to voluntarily necessarily serve, were drafted into service, did so honorably, and were not treated so by their own country when they returned. But you ask, how does this happen? Well, there's a statute, a treaty. The International Criminal Court is not like part of the UN. It's, again, sometimes it refers things from like the UN Security Council and things like that, but it is separate. It is a treaty set up on its own. It's called the Rome Statute. It kind of went into effect in 1997 when there were enough signatories to then start the court. And Than, I think we don't have the book on it in front of me. It's about this big. It's a lot different than establishing like how you establish our court system in the United States or our federal courts. Again, you've got about 2/3 of the countries of the world are signed onto it, but the major superpowers have not. So the court has never really been able to flex its full muscles. So it's looking at other ways to get at those countries. And target number one, of course, is the U.S. military.
And they're sure trying to flex those muscles, Jordan. I mean, the important thing for Dave is that the United States has not ratified it. I mean, Bill Clinton wanted to. He initially started the process of signing it. It was never ratified. And in 2002, George W. Bush removed the United States from that process. So we are not subject to the jurisdiction. And Jordan, jurisdiction is a word we're going to use a lot when talking about this issue. And make no mistake about it, jurisdiction over the United States is always what these international bodies are ultimately after. The issue of the day might change, Jordan, but ultimately they're trying to find jurisdiction over the United States, and in this case, United States forces. But let me just say this to Dave and to our other listeners. Even if you set that issue aside, Jordan, which you can't really do, but even if you set jurisdiction aside, this process that the International Criminal Court engages in, Jordan, it's intended for terrorists. It's intended for the likes of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram. It is being used against U.S. service members. So, number one, the United States is not under the jurisdiction of the ICC. And, Jordan, number two, Dave and other members who have served in our armed forces ought to be offended that a process reserved for terrorists is now being aimed at the members of our military.
Let me tell you some of the people who have been indicted by the ICC. Omar Bashir, who was the former president of Sudan, finally overthrown by his own people, though the military took over in Sudan recently. Not a great situation there. He has been faced an international indictment. Remember Joseph Kony? There was a lot of talk about him and the Lord's Resistance Army, and I remember that happening a lot in the Christian community and churches, this talk about finding Joseph Kony, that he's been, again, there's been an international criminal court indictment against him. The Kenyan president for unrest there, who's President Kenyatta. There was an ICC warrant for Muammar Gaddafi. There have only been, this will only be the ninth situation, kind of as they like to call it, the ninth, specific situation that the ICC has even looked into. I mean, it's very unique. Again, it's not like they are running through things very quickly. This is the ninth. So the previous investigations, just to give you kind of like a quick overview of what the ICC's top level, like their Supreme Court has looked at, is abuses within the Democratic Republic of Congo. And then there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 named individuals there that they wanted to prosecute. Some they were able to, some that were acquitted, some that they never were able to find or arrest. In Uganda, you had, again, about 5. Only one they were able to even begin trial on. A Central African Republic, there were, again, 5 situations there. Only a few have been handled. Then, the atrocities in Darfur and Sudan. The leader there, Omar Bashir, but now he's been overthrown by the Sudanese government, and he's on trial in Sudan. Kenya, Libya, Ivory Coast, and Mali. And the next up is the situation in Afghanistan. That is it. So that's how historic this is, even for the purposes of the International Criminal Court. When we come back, we'll take all your phone calls. I want to thank Cambria and Mary for holding on. We'll get to your calls when we get back. If you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. But let me remind you, we're going to be the oral argument that we're involved in is a month from today at The Hague in the Netherlands. We need your support financially. This is, and it happens to be, sometimes the timing is perfect because this happens to be a matching challenge month, which whatever you donate in the month of November is effectively doubled because we have a group of donors who will match every donation to the ACLJ. Donate today to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Defend our troops. Defend the brave men and women who defend us. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this abhorrent loophole. And we're taking on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry in a major trial and in multiple Supreme Court cases. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
So we've got a lot of questions that are similar coming in. I think what Steven on Facebook wrote is perfect, which is, this is absolutely unacceptable. But I want to go to Cambria's call from Utah because I think it kind of sets the stage. It also answers Kathy on Facebook's question as well. Cambria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thank you for hanging on. We're going to get you a book as well, signed, the next Red Wave, signed to you. So we'll get your address to get that book to you. But go ahead. You have a really good question about this case.
Thank you very much. I think you answered part of my question, so I modified it, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
How many allies do we have in the ICC? And secondly, what is to keep them from retaliating with our, against our allies?
So we don't, there's no allies at the ICC. There are states that are members, and if they're members, they have agreed to the terms of what the International Criminal Court and the Rome Statute means. They have given some of their sovereignty over, their judicial sovereignty over, when it comes to matters of war and then the prosecution of potential war crimes. Now, countries like the UK and Canada and others think, hey, we're never going to have to be that signed on to this. This will never apply to us because we have complementary court systems that can deal with this. And that should be the case with the U.S., even though we're not a member. But the ICC is quickly learning that if they go with that idea that, oh, well, since they have a court system, we can't ever prosecute it, then all they're ever going to be doing is prosecuting Africans and African warlords and kids who work for those African warlords. So to broaden out their jurisdiction, they've got these whole other arguments that have usually worked before and held a lot of weight. They're testing through the prosecutor who lost this case, Cambria, at the lower court in the ICC. They said no, it would be against the interest of justice to do this. But the appeals chamber, which is the Supreme Court inside the ICC, said we're going to take the case. And that's when our alarm bells went off. Why is the appeals chamber, their highest court, saying they want to hear this? And the chief, the president of the ICC's appeals chamber, so they're kind of like their chief justice, had to recuse himself because he's already been very clear on this matter. He thinks the ICC would have jurisdiction. So he had to recuse himself from this case. So as Kathy wrote in, how would this be enforced? And it would be enforced through, you look at a map, and we'll pull it up for tomorrow, of all the countries that have ratified the International Criminal Court and that are members of the ICC. It's most of the world. So it'd be enforced by if you're traveling into one of those countries. So when you're in another country, you are subject to their jurisdiction. And if a warrant issues from a country than that you're in this case, an international organization, and you're traveling in Brazil because they're a member, or one of the Caribbean countries that's a member, or Mexico or Canada that's a member, and a warrant issues for you from the ICC, that country, under the Rome Statute, is supposed to then apprehend you and send you over to The Hague. You're not automatically found guilty, but for trial. I mean, they're supposed to do that. That is what the ICC's goal here is, to ultimately get that kind of jurisdiction over U.S. military troops and intelligence agents, including veterans. So after the conflicts are long over.
And Jordan, I think it's enforcement by intimidation. I mean, can you imagine a U.S. service member having to go through the rigmarole to check and see if a place that he or she wants to travel might carry this risk? And Jordan, I would just make two points based on that last caller. First of all, I think these countries that have made a calculation that they will never be a target of the ICC because they have these processes in place, and so they think it's okay to sign. Jordan, that is a very risky move for them to take, and I would suggest that they need to take another look at it, because because if we've seen in international tribunals really all over the world, they're always looking to expand their jurisdiction, and you never know who's going to end up being a target. The second thing, Jordan, the caller asked if we have allies. I've got to tell you, we have become very accustomed to, in these international tribunals, most often at the UN, but it's no surprise at the ICC either, at being a very lonely minority. That's okay, Jordan. Sometimes you have to stand on truth and you have to stand on justice, even if you're the only one or in a very small amount of company making those arguments.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Mary in Maryland on line three. Mary, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you very much. My question is, I don't understand how American law professors can be allowed to speak against our soldiers.
Oh, because they're not, they would say, well, I'm not speaking against U.S. soldiers. I'm speaking for a jurisdiction of a court. You know, if our soldiers did nothing wrong, then they should have nothing to fear in this prosecution. These are American law professors who believe in this idea of world courts to enforce human rights law. And the idea of the ICC sprung out of the need for sometimes having those special tribunals, like Nuremberg for the Nazis, like the special tribunal for the war crimes in Yugoslavia and Slobodan Milosevic and those activities. And by the way, his case, he died in prison before the case was ever even finalized. And ultimately, the evidence came to light that even though he was not a nice guy, he had nothing to do with the atrocities that he was being charged with. But he died in prison in The Hague. But that was under a special tribunal that was created to investigate crimes against humanity and war crimes. So there was this idea that, hey, instead of having to create these special tribunals for like those horrendous situations in Darfur or in Rwanda when you had, the genocides there, let's have a permanent body to do this. The danger in having a permanent body to do this is that if the permanent body doesn't abide by its own restrictions, as Mark said, and Than, I just want to underscore, it's supposed to be very limited in jurisdiction. You're supposed to really only, if you're the ICC, be able to investigate members and actors within countries, militaries, intelligence agencies, for these specific horrendous acts, which, again, the prosecutor is alleging that there are war crimes to investigate here of the U.S. military. War crimes like torture, crimes against humanity, serious offensives. That if they were convicted, that's life, and they don't have the death penalty anymore at the ICC. It'd be life in prison at the Hague in the prison that they operate. But then the idea was that you don't do that with countries that have real court systems, even if you don't always agree with their court systems. But if they have real court systems where there's real due process, then you don't mess with those countries. You're worried about the countries where victims would have no effective place to be heard, and the aggressors would never be brought to justice. And that's, again, would take out a lot of the major powers in the world, but the ICC has said this is not enough. We don't have enough work to do. Like I said, they've only done 8 cases that have gotten to their Supreme Court. So they want to think about broadening out their jurisdictional abilities, their ability to reach into a country like the U.S. So in this sense, then, it's our brave men and women in the armed forces who are usually the ones standing up and defending us. Now it's our turn at the ACLJ and the ECLJ, and our members' turn to put their money where their mouth is in the real, very real sense by donating to the ACLJ right now, because the U.S. government can't go to this court and defend them. We are going to go to this court and defend them.
It was only supposed to apply to specific crimes in specific countries that had signed onto the statute. The United States has not done that, Jordan. But, Jordan, this is how it always goes. Eventually, these international tribunals always aim at the United States. And in this case, they're aiming at our service members. Look, I don't see that there's much choice in this one, Jordan. This is something that every one of our members, really every American, should be standing up and joining us in mounting a defense.
Okay, this is the time, folks. We have a matching challenge. Put your money where your mouth is when you say you support our troops. Go to ACLJ.org right now and donate to our efforts. We've got 1 month until we're defending U.S. troops at the International Criminal Court. My dad and I are arguing the case.
Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is murdering unborn children and then selling their organs. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood. We could not mount this battle without your support. Right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.